Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Philip Evans. I'm with the Boston Consulting Group. I will be the moderator of this discussion. I guess we're establishing an unusual precedent by starting bang on time. What I'd like to do is to just make a couple of vaguely heretical remarks about the theme of this particular session and then throw the red meat to the panelists, who I hope will have a diverse set of opinions on it. The basic question that we've been asked to consider is fundamentally the idea of vertical integration and vertical control. The so-called walled garden is a model of business in which consumer behavior is constrained by the corporations that provide information services. And the theme is pervasive nowadays that new technologies, including in particular identity technologies, somehow break down the walls of the walled garden and create a new open world which did not exist before. And the purpose of this session is to really think hard about that hypothesis. Now, I have to say that I, at least, have heard this hypothesis before. Indeed, I've heard it many times, going back some considerable number of years. Indeed, if you reach right back to the first evolution of television, David Sarnoff made the assertion that this wonderful new medium of television, he said, around 1938 and 1939, will enable people, instead of being manipulated by the passivity of radio, instead, they will be able to sit in at their hearths and they will be able to listen to great lecturers giving talks on the most important questions of our time. Well, that, of course, wasn't quite what happened to television. And this was before Fox News, that's right. That wasn't quite what happened to television. But it does, I think, indicate a certain form of technological optimism into which people, especially people who are within a stone's throw of Harvard Square, have a disproportionately high probability of drifting. George Gilder, coming not from the left but from the right, nonetheless expressed the same kind of optimism when he predicted that the advent of the internet and of technologies centered on the computer would undermine traditional media and result in, quote-unquote, the death of television. He wrote this 15 years ago, and I have to observe that television is showing no signs of dying yet. So there is an issue here. There is an issue that many of us, whether our politics are left or right, would like to believe that somehow technology will liberate us from the thrall of big media, that people will start to think for themselves, people will start to behave in an intelligent and autonomous fashion. But, you know, the reality is that very often these promises have not been fulfilled. However, it's not a uniform principle. We can all remember back in the early 90s when big media announced that the new broadband technology would bring us the full-service network, the 600 channels of interactive television brought to you by the likes of Time Warner. And that did not happen either. Instead, we got this thing called the internet. And many wonder whether the internet, in fact, really is a fluke, an accident that just happened to evolve in a certain way, or whether it represents a fundamental shift in the power structure of the relationship between individuals and large organizations. I think there are a couple of ways of viewing the likely evolution of the so-called walled garden. One is from the point of view of individuals. Do we believe that individuals, once given the tools and the power, will actually exercise it in order to be more autonomous? Do we have faith that technologies like Opinity or Vault.com or whatever will actually provide vehicles by which individuals will take control of their destinies? Clearly they can. It's not clear that they will. Another view is to emphasize not so much the autonomy of individuals, but rather the countervailing power of corporations, that the issue is rather that corporations will keep each other honest rather than consumers will keep them honest, that what will stop, for example, Verizon or AT&T from imposing a walled garden on our internet access by violating net neutrality will in fact be the countervailing power of Microsoft or Google, in whose interest that is profoundly counter. Both views, I think, can be justified, but both, I think, are controversial. And the aim of this discussion is to try and bring some of those issues to the surface. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite the panelists to comment, each from their own point of view, on this set of questions, and I will let them introduce themselves and make the argument from their own particular point of view, some of which will be quite specific to individual businesses and some of which will be quite general. Glenn, could I ask you to start, please?
Sure. My name is Glenn Fogel. I'm the managing director at Priceline.com. I've been there for about 6 years now. Before that, I was a banker. And first, I'd like to say that the last 2 days have been great in terms of what the future may hold. And we at Priceline think that if it ever were to come to pass, it may be something that would be super. You know, I'm not only a person at Priceline, I'm also a consumer. And we do a lot of travel. When I come onto a site, I really don't want somebody spending their time showing me I can travel from Chicago to Tokyo because I don't live in Chicago, I live in New York. So the most basic things in terms of identification, it'd be wonderful if the person who's trying to sell me something and knew something about me. But the truth is, as a price, I put my Priceline hat on, we spend a lot of money figuring out who these consumers are. And we're not that interested in helping somebody else be able to obtain that information cheaper or more efficiently. So from our point of view, it's really a power structure. It's if we're big enough, well, we certainly don't want somebody smaller than us to be able to catch up or to leapfrog. On the other hand, though, we are the fourth largest in the U.S. There's Expedia ahead of us, Travelocity and Orbitz. Both Travelocity, Orbitz, and Expedia are much bigger than us. We think, well, gee, what if we knew a lot about their customers? Couldn't we do a better job of marketing and steal some of them away? But the way it is right now, that's sort of irrelevant, because right now we find –